Good morning, Memphis, and the day has finally arrived. It is game day. It is time for the Memphis Grizzlies to start their 2020-2021 NBA season after an unprecedented season in which the Grizzlies exceeded expectations, in which it was just a crazy season all along, but in which Memphis saw the emergence of talents that we have not seen within this franchise before, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and others. It is so exciting to now be at the day where we truly get to take that next step forward. It could go a variety of different ways, but after last year, as we mentioned so many times, there really is no bad outcome. But the great thing about it is that starting tonight, COVID cooperates 6 to 7 straight months at least of consistent basketball, almost basketball every other night for the majority of that 6 to 7 months, and we cannot wait. And to be excited, to celebrate that moment, we've got two great episodes for you today. This episode, in which I'll be going into detail about some season previews in the first segment, I'll give you some numbers, three numbers to look at that I think could help define success for the Grizzlies this year. Second segment, we'll look at the early part of the schedule. What do the Grizzlies really need to look at as far as their opponents go to get a good start to the season without Justice and Jaren? And then in the third segment, we'll talk about the rest of the West. What really needs to stand out as far as external factors that can help the Grizzlies out like it did last year? But also, great surprise for you as well. Another episode, crossover episode with Locked On Spurs host Jeff Garcia, getting really into the matchup tonight to start off the season for the San Antonio Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies, two teams who truly are on the fringe of that playoff picture right now but could have playoff aspirations. As always, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, podcast app on your phone, wherever you like to enjoy your podcast. And my name is Sean Coleman. My first true season covering the Grizzlies through Locked On Grizzlies for you. I cannot thank you enough for the support that I've gotten over the past several months. Being the host of Locked On Grizzlies has been an absolute thrill, and I am so excited to get to do something that I'm passionate about, interact with others who I share that passion with, and actually get to get into talking about actual basketball for such an exciting young team. Before we get into the show, I want to remind you of our sponsor, Blue Nile. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. So if you listen to the show for, you know, the months that I've been doing it, and again, thank you so much if you are a new listener who's coming, you know, into listening to the show now that the season is about to start. One big thing that I love to talk about is numbers. I love to get into statistics because I think they tell a great story. And for an analytics-driven team like the Grizzlies, I think they have a lot of relevance. But there are three numbers that I think last year emerged that really brought the Grizzlies a lot of success. And I think through what we saw in the preseason and the depth that the Grizzlies have had, they could get more consistent at reaching these numbers, which would bring them more success. And the first number that really stands out is the number 115. Now, I brought it up before. I brought up the number 115 before, how the Grizzlies, when it comes to them scoring 115 or more points, that typically means that their offense is strong that night, and they usually are, and because their offense is strong, that usually means that they're creating opportunities for turnovers against the other team and converting on high percentage looks at a frequent basis. But I think that 115 really stands out because if this Grizzlies team can truly improve upon its ability to shoot the three this year, especially playing off the strengths that it has in the paint, if it could really emphasize executing high percentage looks in the paint and then using that to create better high percentage looks from three that it can convert, that's going to be a big development for Memphis. And so if Memphis can score 115 points, they will continue a trend from last year that was highly successful for them. In 73 games last year overall, 33 of those games, the Grizzlies scored 115 or more points. They were 23-10 in those games. So for a team that likes to get out and play fast paced, as we know the Grizzlies like to do, their strengths are getting good looks in the paint, getting good looks on the fast break. If the Grizzlies can still do those effectively, but also through those, open up the opportunity to make a few more threes a game, they could get into, out of a 72-game schedule, maybe 35 to 40 games in which they score 115 points. And if they could still win at a clip of 70 to 75%, they're in a group to where every extra win counts, especially against other teams that are vying for the playoffs. So if the Grizzlies can you know, get, you know, maybe 5 to 7 more games in which they score 115 or more points, that could lead to 2 to 3 extra wins at least. That could really be a boost to their playoff chances. The other big number besides 115 is 30. As we mentioned, the Grizzlies were second in the league in assists last year, and they were right around that 30 mark. I think they averaged 28 assists. They were second in the league during the preseason. Well, if the Grizzlies can consistently get those 28 to 29 assists per game, that again is another sign that this offense is staying consistent. And if more of those opportunities are converting higher percentage threes, if more of those assists goes towards three-pointers, that allows for the Grizzlies to have a better chance of getting 115 points, as we just mentioned, is highly successful. But when the Grizzlies had 30 or more assists last year, which was the case in 20 games, they were 15-5. Well, this year, if the Grizzlies could potentially get to that 30 assist mark, maybe, you know, 25 to 30 times this season, 30 may be a bit of an exaggeration, but say they get 5 or 7 more games in which they get 30 or more assists than they had last year, that gives you another chance to get those 2 or 3 extra wins that, as mentioned, really could make a difference as we go further in the playoffs. So scoring 115 points while also getting 30 assists is truly the difference maker for the Grizzlies, and with a lot of success. But another big thing is going back to the area of improvement that I feel the Grizzlies have to improve in the most, and it's their three-point production of both offense and defense. When the Grizzlies were able to limit their opponents to 14 or less threes per game last season, they were 26-22. Now, they did it frequently, but when they were able to really defend the three, prevent their team that they were facing from hitting 15 or more threes, the Grizzlies were 26-22. But even more so, the 16 times that the Grizzlies were able to hit 14 or more threes, they were 10-6. So if the Grizzlies can defend the three better, maybe take those 48 times that they allowed 14 or more threes, maybe down to 45 or 44, and then get the amount of times that they hit 14 or more threes up from 16 times to maybe 20 or 21 times, that again is where you make the incremental improvements that could allow for you to be able to get the 2 or 3 extra wins that really could put you in that 7th or 8th seed in the West. That's why these numbers are so important. If they go back to the strengths, the ultimate strength of this Grizzlies team is the playmaking ability, is the passing ability. The one area where they need to improve is defending and shooting the three. And if they do both of those things more consistently, they're likely able to reach that 115-point mark most consistently, in which the Grizzlies truly were a team that played at a level that was a playoff team. So all of these numbers, these three numbers, they really come together and they benefit each other. They highly impact one another. If one of these numbers is consistently being reached, it's likely because the other two things are happening. And so if the Grizzlies can find 3 to 5 more games in which they do each of these numbers more than they did last year, that could lead to the 2 or 3 extra wins this team truly needs to not only emerge as a potential play-in candidate, but maybe if other things fall right, even emerge as the 7th or 8th seed like they did last year. But the way to hit those numbers is really going to depend on how the Grizzlies start off the season in a manageable part of the schedule, but without two of their better players. Coming up, I'll look at the Grizzlies' schedule to start off the year and how they really need to take a couple of approaches to find success, because as that schedule gets harder, it's going to be either easier for them to maintain the success that they had to start the season or harder for them to dig out of a hole if they struggle. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. And if the NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clear, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. That's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for 50% for a 50% welcome bonus. The NFL games are becoming more and more exciting as the playoff picture comes into place, but there also are a lot of factors that will certainly impact those outcomes. College football, bowl games are is one of the funnest times of the year, but there also is ways in which you could really become focused in on factors that can lead to a victory or a loss for the two teams in the bowl game that could help you profit from them. And of course, with the NBA season starting up as well, there's so many different options that if you tune in, you can not only enjoy them, but also benefit yourself through betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks expert. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. Again, as we mentioned, coming up today, a bit later today, I was very, very excited to get to be able to catch up with Locked On Spurs host Jeff Garcia, one of my favorite personalities from the Locked On family. We've met a few times in the past. Just a wonderful guy who has a lot of interests that are similar to mine. Anytime we get to catch up, we always talk about sports and comics and everything else, but really got into the discussion about what happened for the Spurs and Grizzlies in the offseason. A lot of similarities there, but also the season outlooks for each team and where they need to improve in terms of this matchup, how they both could have a path to victory. So look out for that a little bit later on today. The Spurs, the Locked On Spurs, Locked On Grizzlies crossover as we preview the first game of the season for both franchises. So as we mentioned in the first segment, the Grizzlies have ways. They have numbers that if they can, you know, take some of the encouraging signs that we saw from the preseason, we really could start to see the Grizzlies be able to get a successful start to the season. And as I mentioned a time or two before, that really depends on the Grizzlies' depth. How does that depth emerge? I mean, we obviously know what you've got in Ja Morant and Jonas Valanciunas, but can both Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks really step up in their games to find multiple ways in which they can add value? If one way that they can add value is off one night, they could still add value in another way. Dylan through his facilitation to support his shooting. Kyle with his shooting to support his facilitation and defense. And as I discussed in yesterday's episode, another big thing is the customization of the two-guard position and the depth that the Grizzlies have. But again, it comes back to that depth. How the Grizzlies really are able to utilize their depth to allow for them to get a good start off to the season. Well, the Grizzlies season is a mixed bag of intriguing and in quality opponents, and also identifiable wins. But the thing about it is that it's going to be, you know, they're going to have a very, very tough sledding, you know, to start off the year, you know, after the first few games. They start off with the Spurs and the Hawks. Now, I think, you know, last year I had talked about in the bubble, the one game that I thought the Grizzlies had the best chance to win was truly that Spurs game. It didn't work out. But this time around, with what the Spurs have added in the draft, and, you know, what they added in the draft, the fact that LaMarcus Aldridge is back, I think that the Spurs and Grizzlies are a bit evenly talented in this game tonight. And so I think that either team could emerge as the victor. But it's these type of games that the Grizzlies, especially at this early part of the schedule, are really going to have to win. If there's like 3 to 5 manageable games, the Grizzlies need to win 3 to 4 of them for this to really be the surge that they need going forward once Jaren and Justice are back. Because after the Spurs game, you've got the Hawks. And the thing about it is this, I don't think you can read that much into the preseason. I think it's wonderful that the Grizzlies won the way that they did, that their starters and their main rotation guys had as much success as possible. I think they outscored them by like 30 to 31 through the two games before the reserves came in over the final 18 minutes of game two. I think it's going to be a closer game once we get into the second game of the season, but I still think it's one that the Grizzlies really could, you know, find victory in. But the problem after that is that you've got the Nets, you've got the Celtics, you do have the Hornets, but then you have two with the Lakers. So those games there, you're now starting to see, you know, four out of five games after the Spurs and the Hawks, in which the Grizzlies are playing true title contenders, true teams with title aspirations, obviously out of the West and the East. Now, two of those are on the road, two of those will be at home. If the Grizzlies can split those games, that'll be an absolute wonderful development. And then if they could take the victory over the Hornets, you've then got the Grizzlies split. You know, if they were to split the games against the Spurs and the Hawks, though I do think the Grizzlies certainly can start 2-0, and I think that they play anywhere to the level that they did in the preseason, they've got a good chance to do that. But say that the Grizzlies split with the Hawks and the Spurs. They're able to split on the road with the Nets and the Celtics, and then split the two games at home against the Lakers, especially if any of these major stars were to take a seat during these games. If they can beat the Hornets, well, now you get past the first seven games of the year. Hopefully 4-3 or better, but at the very least 3-4. Then you get past the Lakers in early January, and following them, you've got the Cavaliers, the Nets again, the Cavaliers, and then two back-to-back games with the Timberwolves. So the big thing for the Grizzlies to start off their year, if they can get to January 5th, which will be seven games into their season, by that time, they would have faced the Spurs, they would have faced the Lakers twice, the Nets, and the Celtics. A very tough start to the schedule. If the Grizzlies can be 3-4, or 4-3 at that time, that would be a great start to the season. I know that an under 500 record may not be that wonderful, but it's manageable. It at least gets you past some quality opponents, you know, unscathed really, you know, at around that 500 mark. But then the Grizzlies are really going to have to take advantage from the 8th through the Martin Luther King game, because though they play the Nets, they play the Cavaliers twice, and they also play, from the 7th through Martin Luther King Day, they play the Cavaliers twice, and they play the Timberwolves twice. Because if the Grizzlies are able to go through those first seven games at 3-4 and 4-3, and then over the next six games or so, in which they play the Cavaliers and they play the Timberwolves twice, if they can go through that stretch 4-2 or so, now you've got the Grizzlies potentially being two or three games over 500 before the Martin Luther King Jr. game. At that point, as I mentioned it in the season preview over at the Locked On NBA show, at that point, you've got a stretch of eight games in which you play the Suns once, the Trailblazers, the Spurs, and the Kings twice. Seven of your eight games are against teams who are going to have playoff aspirations in the West. So it's going to be critical, and hopefully by that time, you're also going to have Justice and Jaren back. So the big thing for the Grizzlies during these first 14 games or so, especially during the first seven games, is to just stay afloat. Get to a 3-4 or 4-3 record. And then after that, you've got to win the games that you're supposed to win. In those three out of four games, you know, in those two games against the Cavaliers and two games against the Timberwolves heading into mid-January, the Grizzlies have to go 3-4 or better in those games. So that's why it's critical for the Grizzlies to really get their depth going, to really see this depth continue to emerge, because they're going to have to get a good start to the season. I think it's going to be hard to get a hot start to the season because of the quality of opponents that the Grizzlies are going to play, but if the Grizzlies can just find a way to stay 500, and then as they get past the first seven or eight games of the season, get into that early mid-January range and start to put together a string of victories against the Timberwolves and the Cavaliers, that's really going to be a good start for them, because then once they get Justice and Jaren back, now they've got a winning record. While they're going against the tougher part of the schedule, they're fully strength, and as we've seen, this Grizzlies team at fully strength really can compete with anyone on a lot of nights, especially when it comes to their bench unit. So that's the key for the Grizzlies, is that just get through those first seven games with as close to a 500 record as you can, and then after that, take full advantage of games against the Cavaliers and Timberwolves, leading up to that MLK Day game against Phoenix, another true playoff contender, but one in which you hopefully are above 500, welcoming Justice and Jaren back to really start to propel yourself into the playoff picture at full strength. But the thing about it is this, is that the Grizzlies can do all that they can internally to be able to see what could occur as far as becoming a playoff contender. But last year, as we know, it also really depends on what happens externally. Coming up, I'm going to look at the Western Conference playoff picture and give a few ideas of things that could work out, how different scenarios outside of Memphis could really work out in Memphis's behalf for them to emerge as a playoff contender. The holidays are all about giving, so I'm giving you a hot tip that can earn you some extra cash, and that's the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today wherever you get your podcasts. We've talked to you about this special product all year long, and that is Built Bar. But the great thing about a product staying great for the long term is the support of continuing to help it evolve as a product. Now, there's the same great aspects of Built Bar that remain. The fact that it is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's both tasty and healthy. You can have it at any point of the day for breakfast, maybe as an afternoon snack, before or after a workout, however you want to add a healthy benefit to your day. But the great thing is you already had 12 flavors to choose from. Now you have 18 different flavors to choose from when it comes to Built Bar. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and you put on the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order. But I can tell you this, if you make Built Bar a part of your day consistently, it certainly won't be your last order. It'll be something that'll be there to stay for a while. You can go to BuiltBar.com using the promo code Locked On, get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast feed today. You'll find season preview episodes for each division with team breakdowns from local experts, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen, plus a few bold predictions from yours truly here at Locked On Grizzlies. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today wherever you get your podcasts. So as we've talked about it, when it comes to the Western Conference, or when it comes to the Grizzlies, you know, a lot of things are going to depend on what they can do internally, especially with the need to start out hot without Justice and Jaren and really get going when it comes to the Western Conference playoff run. But in terms of the Grizzlies, as we saw last year, and as I mentioned, you know, myself a few times, not taking away from what the Grizzlies did last year in terms of how well they succeeded internally. But there were a lot of things that worked in their favor externally. Injuries to players such as Zion, Joseph Nurkic, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, all these players on other teams really allowed for the Grizzlies to emerge because they lessened the ability of other, you know, obvious playoff locks. Well, this year, that is probably going to happen to a bit of a degree again for the Grizzlies to really have that amount of you know, legitimacy in their playoff run. I do think there makes it, it's not far off to say this Grizzlies team is, you know, has the chance to be a true playoff contender if they take that next step. But I do think that they're obviously going to need a bit of help. Now, when you look at last year's playoff picture, and you start to think to yourself, okay, teams that were there last year that probably are not going to be there this year. Well, obviously, the Thunder are not going to be there with the, you know, trading Chris Paul, the true rebuild that they were going to do. They had did a great job last year, but they know in their situation a rebuild is just there. So they're now out of the picture. So that's one spot that's there. Houston, I think if they keep James Harden, still are a better playoff contender or a better bet for the playoffs than the Grizzlies currently. But if they wind up trading Harden, despite them having Christian Wood, and maybe even if they get Ben Simmons, without Harden, I do think that they're, you know, being a playoff lock certainly comes into question. So a Harden trade certainly helps out. Now, the Warriors are a bit of an interesting concept because I still think with Steph in place and the talent they have around them, they obviously are a playoff contender even without Klay. But if another injury occurs, like for instance, Draymond missed the opening game of the night, if Draymond or Steph are out an extended period of time because they are in their early 30s, that could really hurt Golden State's chances at the playoffs. And then beyond that, you're probably going to see a team that you truly expect to be a playoff contender in the West falter a little bit, while a team that you may not think is there as a true playoff contender emerge. You could see, for instance, the Pelicans being that team. Maybe it's the Spurs with DeMar and LaMarcus really getting, you know, going in their contract years. The Grizzlies could be that team as well. But I think that when it comes to Memphis, overall, the same principle from last year applies to this year. Other teams who are further on the competitive timeline are right in that mix with the Grizzlies, and it's going to take things unexpected that's not in their favor for things to work out in the Grizzlies' favor. Now, I know that we talk about New Orleans, I know we talk about Dallas. You know, you've also thrown in Phoenix, who truly is making a push for the playoffs. The Timberwolves, though they looked horrible, they do have some good talent that if they gel, could, you know, eclipse the Grizzlies because they have more advanced players like D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. So the overall thing is this, is that I think that the Grizzlies playoff opportunity is similar to what it was as the season went along. I do think that the Grizzlies can certainly improve this year, even if they don't make the playoffs. But I think even with the market improvement that could come from several players, you still run into the need for external things to happen. A big injury or two, maybe a team struggles, a team may not be able to gel. A team like New Orleans, for instance, is not able to overcome their defense and shooting concerns. You know, a team like the Suns who may, you know, lose Chris Paul for an extended period of time, and now your lack of depth comes into play. All those things could happen, especially on these top-heavy teams. But at the end of the day, I do think that when it comes to the Grizzlies, kind of the same amount of teams that fell out of contention, you see the same amount of teams that really are making a strong case to re-enter that playoff picture. And if that's the case, I think that that is something that, you know, is going to make the obstacle of the Grizzlies overcoming, you know, their lack of talent right now to be a playoff team, that's going to be something that's going to create a true obstacle. And I feel that when it comes to the Grizzlies, they're going to need a lot of things still to break their way this year for them to make the playoffs. Now, that does include Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks emerging as contributors in multiple ways. That is Jaren Jackson Jr. playing like he did in the bubble. And that is Justice Winslow coming back and allowing for the Grizzlies to be able to utilize him in a way that he can be a difference maker. Now, that's a lot of things that have got to break right for the Grizzlies, but I think that that's the thing that it's going to have to take. I think that not only will the Grizzlies have to have a lot break for them internally, they're going to need a couple of things to break for them externally as well. For instance, other teams that seem to be stronger playoff contenders kind of falling back due to injuries or ineffectiveness. So again, the Grizzlies are certainly in the right mind to want to make the playoffs. And it's not far-fetched that they certainly have the talent to do that. But I think that what's going to need to happen for them to really have that playoff chance is, for instance, a James Harden trade, or it's an injury elsewhere, or whatever it may be. Perhaps Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic, they don't emerge as the true difference makers for Utah. And that you know, causes Utah to kind of slide a little bit. So with the Grizzlies, I think that they are in position to where their talent alone certainly can put them in the position for the playoffs, but for them to seem like a true playoff contender, I think it's going to have just as many things have to work out in their favor externally as it is in terms of what they can do internally. But at the end of the day, the best way for you to take advantage of a lucky break that you didn't expect is to control what you can control and make the most of what you do expect. And that's what the Grizzlies obviously are looking to do with the roster that they have in place and the continuity that they have in place. If the Grizzlies can play anywhere like they did in the preseason, they are going to be very tough to beat. And the more they do that to start the season, the more likely it is that their playoff chances are certainly going to be there and relevant as the season goes along. Thank you so much for listening to us. It is so exciting again to be here on the first day of the NBA season for the Memphis Grizzlies, their start to what hopefully will be another special season for this special group of players. You can find me at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Again, don't forget to look out for our crossover between Locked On Spurs and Locked On Grizzlies with the wonderful Jeff Garcia, breaking down this Grizzlies game against the Spurs, one in which I think the Grizzlies have a good chance to win. But tune in to that episode with Jeff Garcia, in which I give my reasons why. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. You can follow me at StatsSAC on Twitter. But until next time, hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.